Welcome to the Sparketing Podcast.
In this episode, I speak with Jordan Paris about web design and getting featured in big publications, so stick around. Today, I welcome a guest, Jordan Paris, who is the founder of Growth Mindset University. All right, we're here with Jordan Paris, the founder and author of Growth Mindset University. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. Thank you, Mike.
Awesome. Happy to have you. Jordan is an author, an entrepreneur. He does it all. He's been featured in Men's Health. He is truly a titan of industry, and we're excited to have him on the show today. So, Jordan, I just want to get to know you a little better, let the audience get to know you a little better. So tell us about Growth Mindset University, why you created it, and who it's for.
Right. So originally, Growth Mindset University was just a lead magnet. That's all it was. It was this Thinkific course that, you know, just went, you know, it was a free course that just went, it was featured on the homepage of my website. Like I said, as my lead magnet, and it went straight to Thinkific. The sign up there for free, and then just went straight to my MailChimp, and then an email series would go out, and that's really all it was. It was the course. I mean, the reason it was free is, you know, it was barely even my content. It was just me packaging videos and content in a, you know, curating content, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was really the value of it. And, you know, I very shortly after, I was just reading my journal last night. It was March 8th that I made the Growth Mindset University course. And then it was March 18th that I started writing the Growth Mindset University book.
Uh-huh.
And then probably a week later, I had started the Growth Mindset University podcast. And now it's just, you know, it's this really cool brand. People know what it stands for right off the bat. You know, all you need to hear is the name Growth Mindset University, and people know my values right away, and it just kind of screams that. And then, you know, you go a little further with the design and whatnot, and, you know, the web pages and my values are just very, very apparent, which is the way it really should be, marketing done right.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great thing that you've created there. And I think that one of the key things to take here is that you built upon each little step one by one. You didn't try to do everything all at once necessarily, but you did do it quickly. So you noticed an opportunity for a blog and then a website, then a book, and then a podcast. And that's the way that I think a lot of business owners need to approach this, is to have a holistic approach.
A holistic approach. That's the word. Yeah. You just mentioned the blog. I started that a year and a half ago, December, more than a year and a half, a year and 7 months, December 2nd, 2016, I believe was my first post. I remember all these dates. I don't know why, but I do. It had nothing to even really do with the blog. Has evolved over time. It used to be, I didn't have a voice. I hadn't found my voice at the time I started in 2016. I was like trying to be some science, you know, some health science writer, and sound really smart. And that's just, you know, I know a lot about, I mean, cause I started as a personal trainer. That's
right.
This whole thing started it, and, you know, nutrition was my thing, but writing like that, just, it's not for me. It's not who I am. I'm much better suited for, these awesome concepts that I love to talk about, and, really just life in general. So it's really evolved over time. It was actually so dumb, man. I was just trying to throw up something at the time. Because I always try to brand the blog. The blog should be branded as something, different, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
It was so silly. I'm cringing as I'm about to share what it was called. It was called like the Maximize Your Health. It's just so dumb, you know, and, over time the writing, my voice changed and the concepts changed the amount that I posted has changed drastically, and eventually it became Growth Mindset University, and it's really the love of my life. I love writing. It's awesome.
So you mentioned how you kind of had to develop this voice over time. Do you have any tips for small business owners, people that are trying to start a blog for their business that maybe don't know their voice yet, how to find it?
Right. It's very funny you said it. About 30 minutes ago, I just published an article called Man's Search for a Voice. And I really kind of a play off of that book, Man's Search, mm-hmm. Search for Meaning, one of my favorite books. And it really goes back to, finding your voice is so important. Like, you think of the people that publicly display their strong opinions on Twitter, those kids that were, in your 10th grade English class that always raised their hand to read and volunteer. All those times that, we feel the need to vent to people. They're all instances, a display of what I really believe is one of our most basic needs, and that's really the need to have a say in things, to have a voice, to be heard, to be understood. Like, all of our lives, we search for our voices to relate to others and let our thoughts into the great big world, ultimately to be heard, understood, and believed in a way that we really wish that we so long to be heard, understood, and believed in. And that's why the love of my life is writing books, blogs, recording podcasts, and really creating beautiful art. And I really believe everyone, I write in my book, everyone should write a book, and everyone should start a blog. And how to go about that, I go into it a little bit in my book, as well as the online resources for my book, which is another marketing tactic altogether that we should talk about later. You just got to start. This is the actionable tip. You just start. I don't have any specific, people wait for inspiration to come to them to start writing, but it doesn't really work like that. If you just wait, you're just gonna end up waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing's really gonna happen. You're not gonna find anything or create anything cool. You gotta start, and that's when the ideas happen. That's when you begin to develop your voice. That's when the inspiration comes. After you start, after you take imperfect action. Listen, it's gonna suck at first. You're gonna suck. More than likely, but that's okay. It's part of the process. It's part of the road. Just start.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I recently started this podcast about 3 months ago now, and it's tough to get into the swing of things, but you just have to go for it. The growth will come exponentially every single day. You get a little bit better. But I think a lot of people get concerned when they're trying to build a social media presence, or they're trying to get more leads on their website or whatever it is. They're concerned that if they start something that they're going to not see results right away. And of course you're not, because you have to build upon that. But the fact that they're not going to see those results right away scares off most of the people. But if more people just stuck to it, there would be a whole lot more success going on among these,
Not an easy road. You're not going to have readers for a pretty long time. It's going to suck. And most people are going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, they're going to quit.
Yeah, and that's what separates the great ones from, the people you never heard of before.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned your little marketing tip that you wanted to talk about later. Let's just go into that right now.
So for my book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Books, you don't write a book to make a profit. I'm sure you know that. I think it's a pretty widely known thing. You write a book to, share your truth and develop your voice. But also, a nice side effect to that, if you do it right, is you get leads, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've created some supplemental content for the book. At the end of each chapter, I'm going to turn to a page right now. Give me a second. There's one I really want to.
Yeah, no problem.
Share. It is. Oh, this one's. chapter resources, how to write your book in 29 days, and how to start a blog can be found at jordanparishealth.com/GMU-backpack. There's stuff like that at the end of each of the 12 chapters. And what happens when you go to jordanparishealth.com/GMU-backpack? Well, there's a form that you need to fill out to be able to access the content. And, you know, I end up getting a lead in that way. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple. And so I turn my book into leads. That's how you do it.
That's interesting. I think there are probably a lot of people out there that either have written a book or are, you know, want to do that in the future. And so that's a good thing to note, that when you write a book, when you write a big piece of content, even if it's an ebook, published, whatever, you should definitely create some kind of structure after the fact to invite people to become customers down the road. Because like you said, your book may not be a bestseller. It's not a guarantee that it's going to reach the New York Times bestseller list. And if it doesn't, it may not make a profit itself. So you need to rely on other methods to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, you want to maximize the opportunity here, like really get them by getting them into your funnel.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's what I'm doing here with this book.
Well, great. That's awesome. So I know that you are a web designer as well. You have your own web design agency. I would like to talk a little bit about that. Specifically, I want to know for our listeners, what are three or so common mistakes that people make when designing websites that they can avoid?
Right. Okay. This is something I've never really thought of before, but it's a really good question. I'm going to have to say right off the bat, I mean, some people, sometimes it really is best to hire the professional because not everyone has that eye for design. If you have that eye for design, then great. But, you know, humans are more than capable of producing outstanding work. But a lot of, sometimes it's just, it doesn't hold true. You know, sometimes you need the help of others. And so people create a website that they think is amazing, but it actually looks horrible. Yeah, it's really, I've seen it many times. I would call people out, but I'm not going to do that. But I have specific examples in my head of people that have tried to do it themselves. And hey, you know, props to them trying to save money, trying to do it themselves and set themselves up for long-term success in that way, you know, being self-reliant. But it just, you know, if you don't have that eye for design, it's an absolute disaster. Another thing, and I recommend everyone who is going to try and do it themselves, they need to go and purchase right now, Grammarly.com, a subscription to that, because I think one of the number one turnoffs, for someone going to a website is just grammatical errors. It's a big turnoff, especially like, yeah, really bad ones, maybe small ones you get away with, but the really big ones, you know, when you spell like, instead of definitely, people spell defiantly.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? Like, it's so.
Absolutely.
That's my biggest pet peeve, defiantly. Instead of you know, it's just stuff like that all over the website. Because, I mean, again, some people really have this eye where they don't really need an editor. They can kind of be self-proficient, self-reliant, and do it themselves. But, you know, best to be safe than sorry. And, you know, I pay $20 a month for Grammarly, and it just catches, highlights all my mistakes, even in a, you know, web browser. And it even, you know, it'll provide vocabulary enhancements. So it really polishes everything up before I send it out to the general public. The third thing, I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, people use, people take shortcuts. They use Wix.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, when I first, you know, made my website a while ago, I fell for the trap. I fell for the trap of Wix and, you know, just being drag and drop. But that's not really how websites should be. They shouldn't be drag and drop. They shouldn't cut corners like that, because the SEO, the search engine optimization effects, like, you know, there's just so much that Wix doesn't really take into consideration. I mean, when you move a website to Wix, I mean, you see the domain authority. I don't know if you're familiar with that ranking, but the domain authority, you'll see it just drop. On the contrary, when you transfer from Wix to WordPress, when you're done creating your website on WordPress, you'll see your domain authority for the same domain climb, you know, almost, you know, double in some cases. It's just Wix is horrible. You can't do anything on it. If you're serious about growth, you can't do it on Wix. And you'll see it too. If you look up big names on Wix, they're big companies on Wix, they don't exist. They just don't exist, for the simple reason that you can't grow on Wix at all. And it's super slow. The design, which is their, like, the design of the website, which is like their, supposedly their strong suit, it's not even that good. Like, I don't think you can create like that beautiful of a website on Wix. You can create a good website, not a great website, looks-wise. And then just the functionality of it is absolutely terrible. I've never used Weebly, but I think that's another one of those things. I mean, it's kind of, it's not open source. It's not really well suited for growth. I mean, the biggest person on Wix is Carly Kloss. And that's because she does all their ads. Like, if you go to their, you know, if you watch the commercials, Carly Kloss, she says, well, I don't know if you're familiar with it. She does all their ads. So she's making up the money elsewhere. They're paying her some lump sum, I guess, to use Wix. But no one else big exists on Wix.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because it's the easy way out to try to go with Squarespace, Wix, you know, Weebly, whatever.
Squarespace too, but
that is a great tip, because I can honestly say I've tried to use all of those, and none of them ever meet even half of my expectations. I've wanted to give them my money just for the sheer ease of use, and I can't justify it. So I keep coming back to WordPress. So for anybody that needs a website or that has a website that's not on WordPress, you have to get it on WordPress to really unleash its maximum potential, because, like you said, the SEO factor, the design factor, the customization, personalization is unparalleled. And, you know, like you said, look up any big company that you can possibly imagine. There are one of two options. They've custom coded the entire thing, or they're on WordPress.
Yeah. There's an easy way to find this out, too. There's, oh my gosh, I was on this website the other day. I wish I had it off the top of my head, but you can type in the URL and you'll find out what CMS they're using, which content
that's,
you
know, built with,
WordPress, Wix or whatever. And, you know, they're all WordPress, or either it'll say WordPress, or it'll say, unsure, which essentially means that, yeah, they custom coded their own.
Yeah, for all the listeners that are wondering what that site is, it's builtwith.com. Yeah, very, very valuable. Awesome tips. So kind of along those lines with, you know, web design, and but just shifting a little bit to your other talents, the other things that you have been able to accomplish, you've been featured in Men's Health, and that'll leave a lot of people wondering how to get their own business or their own personal brand featured in a high caliber publication like that. So how did you do it, and how can others do it?
Right. So, I mean, dude, you just got to reach out. This is a great example. Yesterday, we're having this conversation right now. I reached out to another magazine about a month ago. I totally forgot. I left them my email, my phone number, my story, in a brief version. You don't want to be too long. And they were emailing me and calling me yesterday, a month later, and asking, you know, they're like, we want to do a feature on you. We want you to be a quarterly contributor. And I mean, I have never, ever, I mean, some, if you're really huge, it'll happen like this. It'll just kind of, you know, land in your lap, these sort of opportunities. But if you're not, and most people are not, myself included, big enough for, you know, for opportunities to land in their lap. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to seek them out. You've got to fill out those contact forms. You got to find the emails, search for the emails, reach out to the people. You got to be a go-getter, make things happen. And I mean, every publication, I mean, everything I've been in is because I reached out. I've never had something fall in my lap before, ever. Every podcast, you know, I mean, the closest thing was like, you know, to think something falling in my lap was you reaching out to me.
Yeah. <know? laughs> Yeah.
It's, but even then, it was probably because, you know, we're in the same Facebook group, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to find the Facebook groups too. These Facebook groups are awesome. A tool that I've been, that I've kind of discovered in the past, 6 months, year, meeting people in these, all sorts of Facebook groups. I'm probably in like 30 different groups.
Right. Yeah. You just got to go where the people are.
Yeah.
And then you got to be willing to engage with them. Takes a lot of effort, but the results do come.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of along those lines of getting featured in publications, do you have any tips for how to actually find the contact information for these publications? Because some of them can be a little bit difficult to find. They don't, you know, publicize it super well on their websites.
Yeah, some of them can be hard to find. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't really have. I mean, if it's there, it's there. You know. Okay. The writer of an article. I mean, you can
mm-hmm.
always find them on LinkedIn every single time.
Right.
Every single time. I'm connected with every major a lot of major contributors on LinkedIn. You know, a lot of people from Forbes. You know, which is really something I'm very interested in. You know, I can bring a lot of value to them. So I'm building up my base. I connect with all sorts of people on LinkedIn. You know, I'll type in contributor. I'll type in men's health into the search. So everyone employed at Men's Health, I'm connected with everyone at Men's Health, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll look for anything. I'll look up. You know, even for just people I want to have on my podcast, which I haven't really gotten into yet, but I'm stashing all these for the future. I'll look up professional athlete. I'll look up National Football League. I'll look up National Basketball Association. Like, so everyone employed, everyone who in their – like, this stuff is very easy to find. Like, and they'll connect with you too, which is – LinkedIn makes people very, very accessible. I've got 10,000 people on there, and these are not just any sorts of people. There are a ton of athletes, TED speakers, Forbes contributors, men's health editors, everyone. I've got a lot of people on there, a lot of connections I can leverage. Authors, podcasters, I connect with. There was one day that I sat down and I typed in podcast host. So I connected with every podcast host imaginable. And the next day, I got my first ever podcast interview. Magic, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Simple. Some guy reached out to me and I was like, hey, this is cool, you know?
Yeah, it's really that's great. LinkedIn is a big tool that I use as well. That I encourage a lot of people to use. Everybody should be on LinkedIn looking for these are very quick wins. Strategies that are very easily implemented that you can find a lot of value from. I really like what you said about just all your LinkedIn tips, and then also it's just about putting in the work to engage with people as well. You know, once you're on LinkedIn, you actually connect with them, you have relationships with them, and that's what truly provides the opportunities.
And not just saying, just asking for a favor right away.
Right.
Yeah. That's not the way to do it.
Absolutely.
I work with a how I got my start as a trainer, and really my start in everything, I guess. I reached out to a celebrity trainer in Los Angeles, a trainer to Jordan Belfort, Ariana Huffington, Brad Paisley, and all Quincy Jones, all like huge, Amy Poehler, huge list of clients.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, as an 18-year-old high schooler would do, not naturally, that was sarcastic. I reached out to him, asked him, I secured a phone call with him, and essentially interviewed him for an hour. And at the end of it, I asked if I could, you know, come work for him for free. And you don't want to ask to work for somebody for free, like just and leave it at that. Like you want to give something specific that you can provide value with. So, you know, for me, you know, I provided value to him at that time in terms of his website and social media. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, you know, he'll go away for a month and I'll run his studio. So that's the sort of opportunity I've carved out there. And, you know, in Los Angeles, all on my own as a 20-year-old running that studio with those clients, I mean, it's crazy. It's really cool that he trusts me with that. And, you know, so nowadays, you know, I'm providing them even more value, you know, with the, I helped him start a podcast. I'm helping him write his book. And I just did a complete website redesign for him on WordPress, and it's awesome. Probably one of my favorite websites now that I've created. So just providing value in a specific area.
Awesome. Well, you are killing it. You're crushing it, Jordan. I think everybody can take a lesson from your book, and just realize it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You can, if you put in the effort and you really just put your nose down and get going on what you want to do, you can accomplish it. So I really appreciate the insights that you shared with us today. And I'm really thankful you came onto the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Blake.
Thank you so much for listening, Sparketers. As usual, I'd like to recommend that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can find the Sparketing YouTube channel at youtube.com/C/Blake Emmel. I really, really would appreciate it so I can make more videos and more podcast episodes, and also recommend this podcast to your friends and continue to download the episodes. I'll see you next time.